you know.
Okay, Barb, pitch us. Give us your elevator pitch.
Right now?
Yeah.
What if we have some money?
I mean, so, yeah, we might have people with money listening. They might want to. You might want more money. We're always selling. We always need more money. Hey, Warners, welcome to Women Your Mother Warned You About,
the podcast that makes sales sexy again. I'm Rachel Tipton, mom, realtor, and creator of The Closing Curve.
And I'm Gina Tremarco, founder and sales trainer at Pivot 10 Results and Carolina Improv. Hi, Rachel.
Hey, Gina.
How are you doing, girl?
I'm doing good. It is, you know, it's just one of those days. Everything at once, and I'm glad to have it. I can remember this time, and I know at the time when you were my business coach, there were times in my life where I just wished the phone would ring. I just wished, you know what I mean? Like, I wished I could be busy with business, and now I just wish for a moment to breathe sometimes. But it's just such a, it's all blessings. It's just taking, you know, challenges taking me to the next level is the way I see it now.
Exactly. It's exactly how I'm feeling.
Hang on to it.
Lots of blessings. Hey, thanks, by the way, for bringing me boxes, because I'm getting ready to move and you're bringing me boxes. Now, if you could bring me people to pack my boxes, that would be good.
Can't do that. I do not provide that service, but I have endless amounts of boxes. I don't want you to put yourself in a box, Gina, but I want you to put all your shit in there to get out.
Nobody puts a baby in a box. So today we're chatting with Barb Royal, creator of Kids Can Give Too, a birthday invitation platform that beautifully manages parties and inspires kids to give back.
So cool. I have used Kids Can Give Too for all of Roxy's birthday parties, and Barb and I, we go way back. Our kids have gone to school together since early on. And we did a children's theater together called Polly's Island Children's Theater for a summer. And it was just being around her and her positive energy. It was just a really great experience. Unfortunately, we both had a lot going on. We couldn't continue, but she's just amazing, an amazing person with an amazing purpose in her company.
What's really cool, you know, we're both based in the same area. A lot of podcast co-hosts are not. And one thing that you and I have been, you know, as part of our purpose is to make sure that we include local women entrepreneurs on our show to elevate them. And it wouldn't really matter where Barb lives, because Barb is so inspirational and such an amazing entrepreneur and such an amazing human being. It's like we're so lucky to have her in our backyard.
Indeed, for sure.
So, and she's just pretty cool. And she's been a big supporter of ours from the very beginning. So, but before we get started with her, it is time to read some 5-star reviews, because it's important that people are aware of 5-star reviews, because that's how we get found and we need more of them. So here's one from Petra. Okay. I know Petra. Petra knows me. I love Petra. She's a big fan of the show. And she says, insightful, important, hilarious, brilliant, funny, sassy, and classy. Gina and Rachel have found a way to discuss pertinent topics so that you enjoy listening. The only downside is the podcasts are over so soon. So excited to hear more. And then I don't know how to say this person's name. It's spelled T-A-K-O-U-I. Takui says, favorite new podcast of 2019, fun, insightful, and motivational. Would recommend that anyone subscribe.
And if you haven't subscribed yet, we would really appreciate it. And we would also appreciate a review. So go to our show on iTunes. 5 stars is our favorite. And something fun we can read on an upcoming episode, so you can be featured just as Gina featured Petra and Takui. So access our podcasts from our website or on iTunes, womenyourmotherwarnedyouabout.com.
Awesome. Let's get started with our show and our this episode featuring Barb Royal. Yo, Barb, welcome to Women Your Mother Warned You About. Rachel and I are so excited to have you here, and you and I also know each other. I know that, Rachel knows you in one way, and I know you in another way, and I forgot how we actually, the two of us met, but I think we became friends on Facebook through mutual friends, and then we fell in love with each other on Facebook. That's kind of how Rachel and I fell in love, too, and then you came to some of my spontaneous selling workshops, and yay! So welcome to the show. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm psyched to be here to talk with you ladies.
I am super happy to have you here too, Barb. I know you're so busy all the time. I'm busy and I don't get to spend nearly enough time with you as I like to. Barb and I actually, we started Polly's Island Children's Theater a few years ago. We were like, there needs to be a children's theater that is accessible to people on the South End. And we crushed it for a year or for a summer.
It was awesome.
And then we were just so busy that we just, unfortunately, we put it on the back burner. It was a lot of fun, though.
But we put on a heck of a show, didn't we?
It was great. It was really great.
We put on a great little show.
I remember, Rach, when you were working on that, because that's when you and I kind of got together, was around that time period when you were, you've always been doing a million things, but that was during a different period of your life, and that theater was one of your million things.
It was one of a million. I still have at least...
I definitely couldn't have done it without Rachel. I remember I came up with the idea and I immediately thought of Rachel, and I know how busy she is, but I was like, hey, you want to do this? And she was like, okay, yeah, let's do it.
I'm glad we did. And I wish, that at some point when we sell both our companies and we have all kinds of free time, which is in another world, I guess, that we can do it again, because it was such a great time with the kids.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, Barb, it's great to have you on our show today. Really, because you were one of the first, I think, in my opinion, to really embrace us when we kind of put it out there that we were creating the show and we were creating the buzz around the show. And you were really great about supporting and embracing and even raising your hand and saying, I want to be on the show. You were like the first person to like volunteer to be a guest. And we're still working on our technical expertise, but we wanted to kind of get better at that before we had guests on. So I'd like to jump in by saying, share more with our audience, because I think what you do is amazing. And can you just give us kind of a summary of what Kids Can Give To is all about?
Absolutely. And I was just to go back a little bit, I was thrilled to support you, because I love when people kind of take the reins and they do something they're not comfortable with, especially women. And I think it's super important that we support that. So I'm thrilled to be here. And I'm also psyched to talk about Kids Can Give Too. So Kids Can Give Too is an online app. It's an invitation platform, and we make it easy for kids to share half of their gifts with the charity of their choice. So what happens is parents jump on, they put in their party details, where the party's going to be, what time, et cetera. They upload a picture of their kid, and the cool part is they pick a charity that the child wants to help. And then they put that inside the invitation with a little phrase that says, instead of wrapped gifts, little Johnny wants to share half his birthday gifts with Ronald McDonald House or any other charity that is on our platform. And then they set up the invitations, and guests they RSVP, send a little note to Johnny, and then they give their gift there, $20, $30. Sometimes grandma and grandpa give $100. And then Kids Can Give Two tracks the money, and the kids can watch the money grow. And that's after the party's over, we just split it. So 50% goes to the charity. 40% goes to the child on a Visa gift card. Go buy whatever you want. And Kids Can Give Two makes 10%.
Wow.
I can speak as an experienced Kids Can Give Two parent. I have used Kids Can Give Two for every single birthday party that Roxy has had since Kids Can Give Two has been in existence. And not only is it so great for the child to understand the meaning of giving back, but it's also so convenient for parents. It sends out alerts. There's alerts for the party. It's really organized. And it also takes away that factor of you know, when you're at a party and the kids get all these toys and then it's kind of like this frantic moment of kids opening presents and then kids running off with some birthday kid's present and a bunch of stuff that the kids don't really necessarily need or want. It's just,
yeah, that's the big thing. You know, like in my experience, I mean, the whole need or want thing, like, I mean, I have three kids of my own and they would get these birthday presents or you go to like a skating rink, right? And you bring the gift and you throw it into a big bin and then a teenager runs the party for you and you do all the skating and the cool stuff. And then you literally bring home the gifts in a big garbage bag. You dump them in the middle of your living room floor. There's no eye contact. There's no thank you. There's just rip through, keep two or three gifts and then the rest go in the re-gift closet or wherever. It was just, I just felt like it was a colossal waste. And this way everybody wins. The kid learns about giving. Parents don't have a bunch of junk coming in that they don't need, cluttering up their house, and kids get to pick out exactly what they want.
Yeah. What is a re-gift closet?
Can I visit your re-gift closet?
You don't have one of those?
I do. It's very small, but hey, Barb, remember, I'm going to have to find this picture. So really quick side story about Kids Can Give to between Barb and I. So Barb did this really great commercial a few years ago. And she goes, hey, Rachel, she knows I'm a connector and I know people. She goes, hey, Rachel, can you find me a clown? I need a clown for this birthday party scene. And I'm like, sure. So I called a bunch of clowns, trying to get one. Couldn't find any freaking clowns out there.
There's clowns? Wait, there's Myrtle Beach clowns.
Yeah, but they weren't available or they're too expensive or they just were, I don't know.
Yeah,
so we're not talking about our palette.
We need it for the commercial.
So I ended up doing...
We need it for the commercial in the background.
Yeah, we do. I'm going to find it. But so I ended up being the clown. And... I learned how to do clown makeup. That's why I'm saying I'm going to need to find the picture. I know I have it.
She was a great clown.
I crushed it. And what was really the most fun of that was after the party, the filming, I had to take Roxy to gymnastics. So I was wearing the clown outfit and I like was pumping gas with my clown outfit on. And people were like, what the fuck is that over there? They were looking in terror out the windows at me in my full clown. And then I went into I had to go into the CVS to get some wipes to wipe the shit off my face. And then the girl at the CVS thought I was going to like stand up rob the place because I was dressed as a clown. I had to like take it off, take the wig off, be like, it's okay. I just want to take this off.
There is something super weird about going around the clown suit when it's like not even close to Halloween or anything. It's just like random being a clown.
Wow. It was
like,
fun.
You know, on this show, I learn something new about Rachel every single time.
I will find the picture for sure.
Add clown to the resume.
Yes.
So Barb, what inspired this idea for you to create this number one?
Well, you know, I was a teacher for 20 years and I was always about the teachable moment. I wasn't one of those teachers that like, you know, I really believe in teaching the whole child and incorporating those teachable moments that just happen in a classroom. And you know, I wasn't stringent, you know what I mean? So it was whenever I saw like something that we could use to teach the kids something, even if it was kind of a little bit off track, I would go off track and I would make sure that I provided opportunities for kids to learn about character and all these other things. And I had three little kids at the time when I came up with the idea, and I was going to birthday parties pretty much, you know, every weekend, or at least two or sometimes three weekends. I mean, I had kids between the ages of 2 and 7. So that's like prime birthday party time. And I'm just buying hundreds of dollars worth of presents for these things. And I knew that my money was not going into a place that it was not wasteful. I mean, I felt very wasteful. And I thought, you know, there had to be a better way. So I started to really think about it. And on the side, I just started, I kind of created this little website with a friend of mine. I was not a technical person at the time. Like, I've since grown up into a technical person. You wouldn't know it by me trying to get on the video for this.
Oh, please. Please.
But I'm generally a pretty technical person now. But I just threw together this little website, and it kind of works like Webkinz. Do you guys remember Webkinz?
Yes.
Those little stuffed animals that had a tag on them, uh-huh. And you go to the website, enter the code on the tag, and the little animal would come up.
Yep.
Well, I had printed invitations with a tag on it. So you'd sign on to Kids Can Give To, and you'd put the little code in, and it would bring you to the invitation. We've come a long way since then, but that's kind of how it started. So the inspiration was really just to kind of avoid the waste and seize that teachable moment. Like, what is it teaching my kids to receive 20 gifts and just gluttonously open them in the middle of the living room with none of the people there that gave them to you, you know? So that's kind of the inspiration for it. And that's sort of where, you know, you talk about women in business and women entrepreneurs. I mean, that's what's so cool about having women entrepreneurs and women that have these startups, because they have totally different ideas than men, right? They think totally differently. So I was in this all the time in my career as a woman and just in raising and being a mom. So that's, I wanted to come up with a solution.
And it's a great solution. The kudos to you and your team, because the software works really well. I mean, it flows awesome. I mean, I get a reminder every year right before Roxy's birthday that's like, hey, have you started planning Roxy's birthday this year? I mean, it's fantastic. It's really well done.
Cool. Thank you.
When did you
hear a lot about the work of mine?
When did you start it, Barb?
So it started in all these different phases. The original phase I told you about. My kids were little. I was still teaching full time. It was just this little thing I was doing on the side, and people that knew me, you know, would like have a party, and it was just this fun little community, almost little neighborhood, small town thing that I did for just because I thought, hey, you know, let's just start it here and see what happens. And then I ended up moving. My wife got transferred. Actually, she got a job with ArcelorMittal, which is the steel mill in Georgetown here and on the Grand Strand. And so I came with her, quit my teaching job, and was trying to get the kids adjusted to being in a new place. And so I went fishing every day, and then I picked the kids up from school and we'd do fun stuff. And while I was doing that, Tracy was kind of like, hey, maybe you should try to get that Kids Can Give Two thing going. So I wasn't doing a lot. And so I did. I just was like, all right, let me do this. So I found some really cool people, like-minded people that were entrepreneurial, sort of in the startup place here, which is in a huge technical startup hub. We're hardly the Silicon Valley, but I did find a few folks that knew what they were talking about, and just started hanging out with them in a co-working space and started growing it from there. And then I continued to just keep plugging along until I had enough to where I could raise startup funds, an angel round of investment.
And tell us about that. Tell us about raising funds and financing this whole project, because I know there's so much cost that people don't realize in building software.
Yeah, there's a huge cost. You know, I knew that I would definitely have to get money eventually to make this thing big and to be a national platform. So without having any experience raising funds, remember my career, I was a teacher for 20 years. But what pushed me along is I loved the project so much, and I loved what it was doing, how it was teaching kids about giving, how it was saving. It was just taking money that was being wasted and directing it to where it matters. And I just cared so much about it that I was like, all right, I'm going to do this. And I put together a pitch deck with the help of the Grand Strand Tech Council, which is no longer in existence, but it's going to be coming back pretty soon. But with some folks over there, they helped me create a pitch deck. I don't know if you've ever seen Shark Tank, but it was a pitch deck, sort of like Shark Tank style. And then I just went around to anybody that I could find that would listen to me. And they all said it would take 6 to 8 months. You know, you're going to be constantly pitching. It's going to be like a full-time job to raise the money. And it was November. They said, don't do it between, you know, Thanksgiving and Christmas. You'll never be able to raise it, you know. And so I was like, no way, man, I'm doing it. So I just got one person to listen to me and believe in me. And once that one person believed in me and got on board, I was able to raise $325,000 in 6 weeks.
Wow. That's amazing.
And it's really about believing in the founder, you know, and the idea. The idea matters, but the founder matters. You know, you got to really put your mojo out there.
Yeah, you got to have. I'm curious, because I did this studying of, and I've listened to this audiobook like 6 times so far, Pitch Anything by Oren Klaff. I'm curious, how long is your pitch presentation? Like, how tight is it? Or is it more casual?
Well, I've got lots of them. Uh-huh. And that's one thing that's really important. You have to have different pitches. You have to have different formats. So you've got your 60-second, you know, your elevator pitch. I'm sure you've heard that term before.
Sure. Yep.
In case you're at a party and there's a really rich guy or a really rich woman there, and you got 60 seconds to tell them about something, to try to, you know, when they ask you what you do for a living, it's important that that pitch is down pat. Because that's actually happened to me before, where I've met people and then they've contacted me. Tell me more about your company later.
Yeah. You know, okay, Barb, pitch us. Give us your elevator pitch.
Right now?
Yeah.
Yeah. What if we have some money?
We might have people with money listening. They might want to, you might want more money. We're always selling. We always need more money.
So my elevator pitch is half of it you heard when you asked me what Kids Can Give To is. So it's basically just very quickly telling somebody what you do. But the best way to give an elevator pitch is if somebody asks you what you do, right? So how do you get somebody to ask you what you do, no matter where you are? That's one of the big things. So like, you're interested in them first, right? You don't just go in and like, hey, you want to know what I do for a living? Yeah.
well, there are, right? Yeah, there are morons who do that. Yeah. But that doesn't work.
So I would never give this elevator pitch unless somebody point blank asked me directly what I did for a living.
Right.
And I can 90% of the time, someone will ask you when you show interest in them and you give them your time first. So what do you do for a living? You guys know all this, right?
Yeah.
And it's, so what do you do? And somebody tells you what they do and you're intrigued and you ask questions and maybe there's a segue there. You know, maybe they are in the charitable realm. Maybe they are in the tech industry. Maybe they're in there could be a segue there. And then usually people ask you what you do. You say, oh, you know, I'm the founder of a company that makes it easy for kids to share half their birthday gifts with the charity of their choice. And they look at you and there's 100% of the time there's a follow-up question.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
They're like, wow, okay, how does that work? You know? And then you're able to go and, oh, it's a national online app. We have a bunch of charities on board and, you know, it's a way for parents to invite guests to their child's birthday party where they can manage the gifts and they send out invitations just like you would an Evite. But the cool part, there's a little magic in there where the kid can choose a charity and they can explain not to bring wrapped gifts, but simply to give a donation at the time that the child is split with a charity. And the elevator pitch is really just kind of conversational.
Yeah.
That's pretty much what it is.
And then you have, you said you have a couple different pitches. And I think that's important for everybody to take note of, Warners, because you have to really know who your audience is so that you can customize that pitch or that, you know, that sales message to who you're in the room with.
Sure. Sure. So like the other ones are, so now I have a couple of different pitch decks, right? So I have one pitch deck that's mostly pictures. I know that I'm going to be standing up in front of an audience. I'm either at a pitch event or there's a room full of people that are interested in Kids Can Give To for some reason, but it's all pictures. It's maybe 18 different pictures, 15 to 18 different pictures with me narrating them, right? So it could be a picture, it could be a graphic, but that's all it is. The only thing that's holding its hand is some visuals, right? So I've got one of those. I could do one for 5 minutes. I could do one for 10 minutes. I can add financial slides or take financial slides out of it. I have a pitch deck that's got more words on it. So I can just send it to somebody that's read only, right? They don't want to pitch face to face. They want to learn about my company, but they don't want to listen to me that yet. They're not there yet, right? They just want to learn about it. So I've got 10 slides. I can email them PDF and they can read about it. So there's all different kinds of ways to pitch, but it's important you have lots of different approaches in your arsenal.
And if you run into any roadblocks and you need to freshen up your presentation, you could just slide a picture of that clown in there, Barb.
Yeah, I totally could.
I wish I could pull it up and show you guys, but I will. I will send it to you guys.
Hey, you know, it's always about disrupting a little bit. You know, in improv, we talk about repetition and contrast, and repetition is what people expect. And contrast is what people don't expect when you throw them off guard. So the clown,
the clown
is contrast.
Oh, and the clown was expected to juggle, and this clown don't juggle. My juggling was, I think, like for the pictures, I like threw a ball into the air and kind of made, or like, I don't juggle well.
I thought you did a hula hoop. I thought you decided that we would do a hula hoop.
I think I can hula hoop. Man, I got an award recently at Disney with doing hula hoop. It was an award.
I believe that to be true for sure.
So Barb, I'm curious, what are some of the, I mean, this is all really fascinating. We could probably talk hours about this, but what are some of maybe the challenges that you've had in the startup of it and, you know, the being a woman of it and being in the South? I mean, I'm sure there's a number of challenges that, but just starting up a tech company when the chances of it succeeding is so tough. So
9 out of 10 fail. Yeah. I mean, you go in, you know, you do a whole bunch of reading and you're like 9 out of 10 fail. 9 out of 10 of these companies, they
yeah,
fail.
Yeah.
There's just so many variables and so many things. But you know, the challenges obviously of all of my investors, except for one and the one that isn't it, all my investors except for one are men. They're all men. Hmm. Right. So I'm always the only woman in, when I have an investor meeting or whatever, I'm the only woman in the room. And you know, women and men, they just think differently,
yeah,
right? Like I'm all about, I love Kids Can Give Too for what it is, right? And they're all, you know, a lot of them have really big hearts, but they're also, you know, very cognizant of the bottom line, you know what
right.
I mean? So there's that too. So I had to kind of, you know, learn how to do my investor meetings to make sure everybody was, so I was infusing them with the spirit of the company and they were infusing me with make this thing grow. You know, make it grow. So it was kind of like a cool balance, but still definitely a challenge before I really got there. And just raising the funds in general, you know, I mean, most of these tech companies are, they're full male teams that are doing this. I mean, there's,
yeah,
of course there are women that code and of course there are women in science and of course there are women, you know, female entrepreneurs, but the majority of them are men. It's definitely a man's world. So that's a challenge too. And just being in the locality that I am, I mean, like I said before, Myrtle Beach is hardly, the tech hub of the country.
Right.
You know, we're not in the Silicon Valley.
Right.
We're not in New York. We're not in Boston, you know, so that was difficult. And many of my investors had never invested in a tech company before.
Oh, wow.
So that was a challenge.
Wow.
Like it was all brand new to them. So
interesting.
That's a lot of stuff to try to sell. A lot of points, you know what I mean? From the tech part and it's a brand new thing. And I want to back up a little bit because I find this interesting. And when we don't have our buddy Keith on the show, and sometimes in my head, I'm like, what would Keith say? Or what would Keith Walters ask? And I thought it was interesting. I'm starting to channel him that I agree with you on that balance, which is great about having Keith part of our podcast because he balances us in a lot of ways,
mm-hmm,
or at least he tries. That piece of it where you said it was a challenge, you said it's a challenge because you got a bunch of guys who are concerned about the bottom line. I think as entrepreneurs, we're all concerned about the bottom line, but as women, do you think we sometimes maybe not focus on that because we're focusing on the purpose versus the profit? I don't know. Just a random thought.
And I struggle with that, you know, a little bit because, you know, in order for Kids Can Give to really be successful and get to the level it needs to get to, it has to be sustainable, right?
Yeah.
It has to be a sustainable concept. And so that is very important. But it also, you can't compromise the spirit of the company to get there.
Right.
And I guess maybe that's how I should have worded it. I'm thinking about things that maybe from a male perspective, and I don't want to generalize. I don't generalize anyway.
No, I know. I'm not trying to throw you off either with this. I just think that it's kind of an interesting thing.
Yeah, I agree. And I honestly think that, you know, that I have this certain idea of I know where Kids Can Give To can make money, but I don't know if that's the ethical way that I want to go. And since I'm running this ship and it's sort of my brainchild and my thing, I'm going to follow where I think it needs to go ethically and have it make money.
Yeah.
Right. Does that make a little bit more sense?
Oh,
there
yeah.
are paths that I would not go down.
Yeah.
That maybe somebody would suggest I would.
Yeah.
But I don't.
And that's kind of why I wanted to bring it back up and kind of review it one more time because I don't want anyone to be like, oh, women don't worry about the bottom line. Because
we worry about the bottom line.
We do.
Very much.
We all want to make money.
And I want to make money. And we all want to make money. We all deserve to make money. But there's a way to make money in a beautiful way that I think women can consider. That's all.
Perfect. Perfect. That's what I wanted you to put out there.
And I don't think necessarily, okay, I think I always like to go back to the primal, you know, basic human functions of like women just, we have this maternal instinct and it's like a care, not necessarily that it's more caring than men. It's just different. Like Barb said earlier, is we just think differently. We do think about the bigger purpose sometimes of, you know, the meaning and the purpose. And we think about the money, of course, because especially now there's so many business women. But I think there's men out there that think purpose. But I think women, it's just we're built to multitask. We're built to care. We're built to take care of the tribe. And, you know, the men are built to do the hunting and gathering like traditionally back in the caveman days. So, you know, I think
gather me some money, man.
Absolutely. Well, I don't have a man to gather me money. Well,
and you don't need one.
I gotta gather.
And we
money.
Don't need one. No. So there. But it's not like we'll say no to it.
So true. When I spoke to you the other day, Barb, about a totally separate issue, you mentioned how important it is for women to support one another in difficult ventures. And I, you know, I'm in the middle of building software myself, and I always think of you because I've been in touch with you ever since you started building this whole thing, you know, well, since the beginning. And I've observed how hard you've worked and how many brick walls you've run up against and how you just keep going. And it's always inspirational to me because it's just like, you think you're getting somewhere and then you open up the door and you're like, oh man, I got to go all the way there and figure that out. You know, it is that really, really inspiring.
So there's two things that is cool. Like I want to address there. First of all, the first thing is that, when you're building software, someone told me, like, I didn't know the mindset. You know, it's kind of like when I thought it was like, oh, okay, I'm going to build a house, right? So I'm going to build my house, and this is the finishes that I want. I'm going to build the house. The house is going to be done on this date. And there might be a little punch list, right? But then you're done. Your house is done being built, and you're going to live in it. Well, the thing about building software is you're literally never done. You're never done. It's when you think you're done, then something changes technically, and you've constantly got to upgrade. So you're never done. So the sooner you realize that, you're basically going to just keep putting things out there in phases, and then you're going to develop more features, but you're never going to be done. So the sooner you know that, that's the biggest piece. And a friend of mine, my friend Paul Reynolds, told me that. And then from then on, I never felt stress about the software because I always knew that it was just going to be a constant work in progress. But the more important thing you talked about was supporting women in business and just in general and in life. And I think it's super important that when we see women, and I love this Chris Rock quote. I recently kind of latched onto it, and I keep saying it to my kids and sort of applying it to my life. But when he was younger, like a teenager, 18, whatever, he had this terrible car and it would never work. And so it was always broken down. And if he would stand on the side of the road and wave people to try to get them to help him, nobody would ever stop. But as soon as he started actually physically pushing the car, people would stop and start pushing the car with him, right? And I think that analogy is so awesome in so many parts of our life. Yeah. Like when I saw you and Gina saying, we're going to do a podcast, I knew neither one of you were technical people, like at that point.
What?
I knew you're smart. Oh, come on. And I knew you're... But I knew you were smart. I knew you were obviously would be great on a podcast, and you're both entertainers and you're fun. But like, as soon as you started pushing the car, I felt like it was really important for me to help you.
Aww.
And I think whenever we see women doing things that are hard or out of our comfort zone, or and they're pushing the car, go help them. You know what I mean? Like, that doesn't mean that everybody that calls you that says, oh, I want to start a charity, Barb, tell me how. If I see that you've already applied for 501c3 and you're planning an event and you need my help or some, yeah, of course, you started pushing the car. I'm all in, right?
Yeah.
So there is a balance, but like, I think it's just super cool what you guys are doing. And whenever we see women doing things like that, we all need to stick together and help each other.
We appreciate
it. That is such a great, like, I visualize the pushing of the car. And I think there's a couple things with that is oftentimes as women, we don't ask for help. Right. We're just like, yeah. Sometimes we don't even stand outside the car and raise our hand. We're just like, okay, I guess I'm going to just push the car by myself and hope someone helps me. So I think it's important for women also raise their hand and say they need help. And equally, I think women need to jump in and say, what can I do to help you? Let me help you. And I think men are pretty good at that. And to your point, having so many male investors, I mean, most of my career, and it's not to bash women, I'm just going to say I've usually gotten more help from men than women. Mm-hmm. And so I try to lead by example to be that woman who helps women. And Rachel's the same way.
Yeah. And the men that did invest, I mean, my investors, I hate to just say they're just my investors, they're people, but I couldn't have done it without them.
Right.
Without them believing in the idea,
right,
and believing in me, it would not have happened. You need money to do these things. You know, you can't do it for free. You can get started and you can get your ideas planned out and you can be smart. But then there comes a point where when you're doing a startup like this, you need money. You need, yeah, people to believe in you. You need investors, you know? But I believe the way to do that is to start doing something first.
I'm missing Keith now.
Aww.
I'm missing Keith on our episode. I mean,
can't we dub him in?
Keith's one of our early believers, right? That believed in what we were doing. And I think it's important to have those people who will be there for you. I know there's something.
Shout out to Keith.
Keith Walters. There's something else though Rachel was telling me about, that's something that you're working on that sounds really cool for women.
Yeah, there's this cool movement and I want to jump on board here on the Grand Strand, and I haven't totally figured it out, but I think it's awesome. So it's called 100 Women Who Care. And it's not this big, like it's a movement, but it's not totally stringent where there's rules and everybody that does it has to buy our package in order to do it the right way and use our bylaws and use our, you know, methodology. No, it's 100 women who care. And the premise of it is 100 women get together twice a year. Okay. Only commitment is that they will bring a check that they're willing to write for $100. And they come in, they sign in, they put the name of a charity that they would like to give money to into a fishbowl, real simple, with a pencil and paper, put it in a fishbowl. And then all 100 women are in the room and then you pick it out of the fishbowl. And if their charity gets picked, they get to give a 5-minute little pitch about why their charity that they want to support is so great. And then after three people, we pick three different charities out. And after three people pitch, then you vote as a group of 100, and whoever wins, they walk out with a $10,000 check.
Wow. That's
well, they walk out with $10,000 in check.
Yeah.
Everybody writes the check for $100. And I'm sure that, you know, I would probably do it with, I would definitely do it with an app just because that's what I do. But there are many people that just do the fishbowl method and it works perfectly. So twice a year, this group of 100 women get together and they just write a check and $10,000. And oh, by the way, it has to be a local charity. It can't be a national charity. Mm-hmm. So it's $10,000 being funneled into a charity in your community. And I just think it's such a cool idea. And I also want to do 100 Kids Who Care, and I want to have them bring $10 and do the same exact thing.
Oh my gosh.
So I want to do both. I think I just think it'd be so cool.
All right. Rachel, I got to ask you, how strong are you? You're ready to help push the car?
Girl, you know I'm strong.
I think we should help Barb push the car.
I would love it. That would be awesome.
Well, now there's three of us.
We can get 100 women.
There's three of us.
We only need 97, I was about to say. Well, between the three of us, I do, Barb, when she first mentioned this to me, first thing I thought when, well, she's the one that said it, Barb said, we could get together over a weekend and make phone calls and probably gather up the rest of the 97. And then, of course, the next minute when I got in the car, I was like, I just said yes to something else. I was supposed to say no to everything else. I'm not supposed to say yes to any other projects. But
hey,
it's it's such a great idea. And the thing about, I know I've experienced in my life, especially in the last couple of years, such great abundance and so many wonderful blessings. And that's because I have adopted the true mindset that giving away is the best way to receive.
Yeah.
Abundance. You can't be stingy about giving to the world around you, and the universe rewards that.
It's absolutely true. I don't make big money with Kids Can Give too. As a matter of fact, I haven't been paid in a while because I'm in my next growth spurt. But what I get paid in Kids Can Give too, like the non-money stuff, I mean, the money will come. And I'm growing right now. I'm in a big, big subscription growth plan right now. And honestly, like I still sign every check, right? I still, like, thousands of dollars is being funneled into charities because of this little invention and now becoming a big invention. And I mean, it's just awesome.
Well, I'd love to have you back on, Barb, because I'd like to talk more about your growth and how you're scaling, because, you know, this is also about business and how do we sell and how do we make more money? And it'd be kind of interesting to get you back on and do a follow up to talk about scaling.
Yeah.
Is that cool with you?
We're right now in a great scaling growth period. I've just raised another $100,000 in investment for this. And this is going to be super fun. We're going to get huge.
Okay. Well, cool.
Huge. So big.
We're going to get huge.
Sorry, Doug. I said huge really loud, too close to the microphone. He's going to kill me. It's time for us to wrap up. Sadly, the time goes by really fast, especially after we spend 30 minutes dealing with my technical ineptness. So it's
learn and grow.
I mean, this is going to be a theme of this show. So we need to wrap up. Thanks to Barb for being on the show today. Barb, if our listeners want to connect to you, reach out to you, learn more about you and your company, what's the best way to do that?
Just barb@kidscangive2.com, P-O-O.
Excellent.
So just barb@kidscangive2.com. Yep, reach out to me that way and check out the site. Just go to Kids Can Give 2 and see what we're all about.
Awesome. And we'll include that in our show notes so that you can check that out in the show notes. Thanks to all of our warners for listening to this episode of Women Your Mother Warned You About. To connect with me directly or learn more about Pivot 10 Results or Caroline Improv, you can visit GinaTremarco.com. And Rachel?
And you can connect with me, Rachel Tipton, visit theclosingcurve.com or find me on all the social medias as Rachel on Real Estate. And find all of our social media links and free downloads on our website at womenyourmotherwarnedyouabout.com.
And please give us a 5-star rating and review. I think only 5 stars is working right now on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. And remember, for the best relationships, keep it real, raw, and relevant.
And a little irreverence doesn't hurt either.
Bye, Warners.
This really will get serious soon.
It doesn't have to. I don't think anybody wants it to be serious.
This has been a presentation of the Sell or Die Network. For more podcasts that you can take out into the street and turn into money, visit SellorDieNetwork.com.